And you answered the call of your Imam Khomeini, may God have peace on his soul. We are in great need of this occasion, of commemorating this occasion, to stress on its meanings. First of all, we must highlight that Palestine, which we are speaking about, it is Palestine, all of Palestine, from the river to the sea. And this Palestine completely, it must return completely to its real rightful owners, to its people, and nobody in this world, no prince, no king, no president, no leader, no sheikh, no sayyid, no state, no government, no organization, nobody, no one has the right to abandon or make concessions on one piece of soil on the Palestinian territories, or one drop of its water or oil, because now we have oil, or one piece of its land, and nobody has any mandate to take such steps. This must be stated today in the month of righteousness, in Ramadan. The second of all, Imam Khomeini described Israel in a realistic way when he called Israel as a cancerous tumor. This is a cancerous presence, and we all know that cancer, the nature of cancer, is that it spreads throughout the body and it leads to destroying the body. The only solution when it comes to cancer is to eradicate cancer and not surrender to it and not give it a chance. Israel, which is the base of the Zionist project in the region, my dear brothers and sisters, Israel represents a permanent and grave danger. I want to draw your attention, and it's not a danger to Palestine and the Palestinian people, and we can't say that we have nothing to do with it. We can't say Lebanon is okay, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Egypt, the Gulf countries, Northern Africa, the other Arab and Muslim countries, they can't say they have no problem. Israel, it can't be said it's only the problem of the Palestinians, the Palestinian people, and the Palestinian state. This way of thinking, it reflects ignorance. Israel represents a permanent and grave danger to all countries and all the peoples of this region. It represents a danger to their capabilities and to their security and their dignity and their well-being and their sovereignty. And anybody who denies this is being arrogant, not looking at the truth. So it is not an existential threat to Palestine and the Palestinian people only. It is also an existential threat to all of the countries and governments and religions and the peoples and civilizations of this region. Number three, eradicating and eliminating this cancerous tumor. Of course, some might say that eliminating Israel is a Palestinian interest. It is true, it is a Palestinian interest, but not only a Palestinian interest, it's the interest of the whole of all of the Islamic world. It's the interest of the Arab world. When we say a interest, it's a nationalist interest. It's also a national interest for all countries of the region. And here we cannot differentiate between the nationalist interest and the national interest. Israel is a danger to Jordan, and its elimination is a Jordanian national interest. It's a danger to Egypt, and its elimination is it serves the Egyptian national interest. It's a danger to Syria, and its elimination is a Syrian national interest. The same goes as well for Lebanon. It represents a danger to Lebanon, and the elimination of Israel is a Lebanese national interest. Number four. And based upon what I said in the first two points, everyone who stands against the Zionist project and anybody who resists the Zionist project anywhere in our region and in the world and in any means. Hence, as he is defending Palestine and the people of Palestine and defending Al-Quds, at the same time he is also defending his own state and defending his own people and defending his own dignity and defending also the future of his own children and grandchildren. Number five, Palestine and Al-Quds, my dear brothers and sisters, Palestine and Al-Quds are a general and comprehensive responsibility for every Palestinian and also for every Arab, whether he be Muslim or Christian. And it's also such a responsibility for every Muslim in the world and for every human being in the world, because it is a cause of righteousness and because it really represents genuine human suffering with the full meaning of the term. Yes, the level and the magnitude of responsibility might be different from country to country, from people to people, from side to side, or from person to person. Here, of course, we have the capabilities, we have the circumstances, the geography, all these elements make a difference. First and foremost, it's a responsibility of the Palestinians, then after that and after that. However, there is a minimum level of responsibility on everyone's shoulders, and nobody can strip himself or take this responsibility away from himself. The political stance is the least level of responsibility. The media stance, popular solidarity, financial support for the Palestinians, and at least what we shall be asked of on Judgment Day, at least, is not recognizing Israel. The very fact of its existence, the legitimacy of its remaining presence, this is the least level of responsibility which we must all assume in front of God on Judgment Day. Number six. Now the crowd chanting the slogan of death to Israel. Number six. We must stress on the importance of this conflict and this confrontation with the Zionist project, which occupies Palestine and Al-Quds and other Arab territories in Lebanon and in Syria. And from the beginning, if the Ummah had dealt with this issue as a priority, we wouldn't have reached this current phase which we are in, and we would not have witnessed all of these sufferings and difficulties which the Palestinians are living in Palestine and outside Palestine, which all of the people of the region are suffering from, all of these sufferings and the pains which we put up with in Lebanon and which the people of the region put up with are because of the fact that we abandon this responsibility and because we abandon this priority. I also want you to pay attention to the current situation. Unfortunately, in the Arab world, and behind them the Americans and countries, we have governments preventing this issue from being a priority. They are trying to take the compass away from this priority. They always want to push the people towards other priorities, to focus on another enemy, inventing other wars. From the very beginning, the Zionist project occupied Palestine, and in the Arab world we had countries and governments and calls who said that the priority is to confront communism, the communist expansionism, and this is the main threat to Islam, and hence Palestine was forgotten. And in order to confront communist expansionism, billions of dollars were spent and media channels were established and books were published and wars were waged, and even the war in Afghanistan, fighters from different parts of the world went to that war, from Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Lebanon, from Palestine itself, which is an occupied territory. But my dear brother, this is occupation. Why did you leave Palestine for tens of years and you went to fight in Afghanistan? I am not discussing the issue of legitimacy of fighting in Afghanistan. What I'm speaking of here is priorities, setting our priorities. Okay, the Soviet Union ended, they were defeated, they left Afghanistan, the Islamic Revolution achieved victory in Iran, and it gave a additional strategic element for the conflict with Israel. Directly after that, they brought about another priority. They waged another war. They invented another enemy, which was called the Iranian expansionism, the Iranian danger. They didn't say Shia before. Today, I'm going to say things very clearly. I'm going to speak very openly. They didn't say Shia before. They used to say the Iranians. They used to say the Persians. They said they are launching an attack on the eastern gateway of the Arab world that I've always waged on Iran for 8 years. And the Arab countries sent hundreds of billions of dollars in this war. If a quarter of this amount, or a tenth or a twentieth of this amount, was spent for Palestine, Palestine would have been liberated, but the Palestinians wouldn't have been living and wouldn't have been suffering all of these pains, wouldn't have been witnessing all of these sufferings. And so the war took place against Iran. These are the facts which we all witnessed. We all lived through these facts, and the media outlets were established, and a war was waged. Conferences were held, and money was spent, and armies were prepared to fight Iran, not to fight Israel. Every tank which the Arabs received, every airplane or warplane, every rocket, every navy warship, there are guarantees that these weapons will not be used against Israel. And then they saw that this language of Persian people is not good, so then they invented another name, Shia expansionism. Please, for God's sake, where is a Shia expansionism? They say in Egypt there is Shia expansionism and they're afraid of it. Where is a Shia expansionism? They invented an enemy, and now they have tried to, they are trying to tell many Islamic groups that the enemy is Iran. The priority is to confront the Shia danger. The Shia ideology, Shia expansionism, and the Shia danger is more dangerous to the Ummah than Israel and the Zionist project. Isn't this being said on tens and hundreds of Arab media outlets financed by the Gulf? Isn't this being written in books and in the newspapers, in articles? Isn't this said every morning and every night on the mosques, in the mosques? For many people, Israel is no longer an enemy, is no longer a danger for many sides. Now they invented a new enemy. And what is even worse, now, of course, I've gone to a long part of my speech. I finished a significant portion of the speech. What is worse is that they have placed the internal conflicts inside countries within the framework of sectarian conflicts. This is dangerous. In Egypt, we have a political conflict. We have deep divisions. Is it a sectarian division? Is it a sectarian conflict in Egypt? No, it's not. It's political. In Libya, we have a big political conflict and huge divisions, sharp divisions. Is it sectarian? In Tunisia, we have a political conflict. In Yemen, we have a big political conflict. Yes, when we refer to the countries whereby there is religious diversity and different sects, and they always lived because of the blessings of religious diversity, like Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Bahrain, when it comes to these countries, they make it sectarian, but it's political. And then we see the sectarian language, and the history books are open. But this is a political conflict. Why do you make it as sectarian? They're doing it as an ignorant way. This is ignorance because it is a source of destruction. It is a weapon of destruction. My dear brothers and sisters, and here I speak to everyone who is listening, hasn't a time come for the people of the region to realize, after witnessing everything we saw around us, hasn't time come to realize that someone wants to destroy this region, to destroy its countries, to destroy its armies, to destroy its peoples, not just to dismantle the countries and the armies, but to dismantle the people. The between Muslims and Christians and Sunni and Shia and Zaydis and Ismailis and Persians and Kurds and Arabs to fight against one another. Hasn't the time come for the people of the region to realize and to point the finger at the countries? It is unfortunate until now we haven't taken the decision to point the finger. But we all know Hasn't the time come for the people of the region to know and to point their finger and to name specifically who are the countries that sponsor this destructive project, which is the most dangerous project we have ever witnessed in our region? My dear brothers and sisters, everyone who sponsors and supports the Takfiri groups throughout the Islamic world, whether it be ideologically or financially or on the media or by weapons, and sending them to the battlefield for the people of the region to know and to point their finger and to name specifically who are the countries that sponsor this destructive project, which is the most dangerous project we have ever witnessed in our region. My dear brothers and sisters, everyone who sponsors and supports the Takfiri groups throughout the Islamic world, whether it be ideologically or financially or on the media or by weapons, and sending them to the battlefields in more than one country, those who sponsor these groups, they assume responsibility first and foremost for all of the sufferings and the destruction which is taking place, which brings or which has a great service to Israel and America. On Al-Quds Day, we call on all sides. We call on all sides to exert efforts in every country in order to solve their problems by political dialogue, internal political dialogue, and to stop the bloodshed from Syria to Tunisia to Libya to Egypt to Bahrain to Iraq to Pakistan to Afghanistan to Somalia. Unfortunately, in every place these Takfiri groups have a role. Wherever they are, we see difficulties, we see sufferings and catastrophes. We call for solving the issues by internal political dialogue and stopping the bloodshed and reinvigorating this priority. We in Hezbollah, we called and we worked and we still are exerting efforts to look for the commonalities, for the common ground, to meet on this common ground in Lebanon or outside Lebanon. We must manage our differences or delay them. Today we are in great need of this, because disagreements or divisions have become destructive. We have some disagreements which might shake the economy, some which might shake the security, but we have disagreements which might destroy. Today, the disagreements and divisions have reached a destructive level. If we stop at every political disagreement, religious disagreement, or political division or disagreement, and if when it comes to this disagreement, irrespective of the common ground, if we build upon this and create more hatred because of any disagreement, then we are not worthy of living. Today we are listening to some speeches, language which brings about more hatred between Muslims and Christians, between the different sects of Islam, especially between the Sunni and Shia, between the Arabs and Turkish and Kurds, between the nationalists and the Islamic. Today, of course, we're hearing that the Islamics opened fire on everything which is called nationalists and patriots. And on the other hand, unfortunately, the nationalists also opened fire against everything called Islamic. Who does this serve? This craziness, this chaos, where would it lead us to? Here is the responsibility of the rulers and the religious clerics in every country, and for the sake of the whole Ummah, not just for the sake of Palestine and Al-Quds, all of our efforts must come together. All of the efforts in all countries must come together to defeat this project, to defeat this destructive project, this project of sabotage. And I'd like to tell you that our Ummah and our people and our intellectuals and our people are capable, God willing, of defeating this project, and this project will be defeated, God willing. My dear brothers and sisters, we in Hezbollah, we stress that we are committed to these principles and these norms and these priorities. And people, there are people, they are enemies with us because of this. Some sides are enemies with us because of our commitments, because of these principles. And sometimes our friends, or some of our friends, say this priority is higher than any other priority, and they disagree with us in this perspective. They understand us, but sometimes they complain. However, this priority on Al-Quds Day, we stress our complete commitment to this cause. We in Hezbollah, my dear colleagues, and I say this deliberately, we need to stress on this point, we will remain on the side of Palestine and side by side with the people of Palestine, and we will always be intent on preserving good relations with all Palestinian factions, with all the Palestinian factions. Although we might disagree with them sometimes when it comes to certain issues related to Palestine itself, or might be related to Syria or the region, however, we are people who call for coming together on commonalities, on common ground. So when it comes to Palestine, this is a big issue of common ground. And how can it be when we say we have the slogan of Al-Quds brings us together? And any other disagreement, an ideological disagreement or religious disagreement, or religious, as I said, or political disagreement, whatever be the other issues which we might disagree on, the commitment must always be to Palestine and its cause and the Palestinian people, irrespective of other disagreements. On Al-Quds Day, we must express our great thanks. And anybody who doesn't express thanks to the He who is Creator doesn't thank the Creator. We express our great thanks to the Islamic Republic of Iran. And we express our great thanks to the Syrian Arab Republic. We express our thanks to them because of what these countries have given for Palestine and the cause of Al-Quds, and because what they have given to the Palestinian resistance movements, or the resistance movements in Palestine and in Lebanon, which led to more than one defeat of the enemy and of this entity and this project. We will continue. We in Hezbollah, we shall continue to be the awakened, prepared resistance group to defend our country and our people, and to confront all of the ambitions of this enemy, side by side with the Lebanese National Army. Side by side with the Lebanese National Army. And from here, we salute this Lebanese army. We salute its leadership. We salute its generals and its soldiers and its martyrs and its wounded. On Al-Quds Day, we must remember the Imam of the resistance, Imam Musa al-Sadr, who took us on the road of Al-Quds and put us on the right path, Sirat al-Mustaqim. And we call on the new Libyan authorities to take complete responsibility regarding this dangerous issue of Imam Musa al-Sadr. My dear brothers and sisters, I know these days there is a lot of sectarian incitement. Now, allow me. Many times I speak as a nationalist, as a Muslim, as a nationalist, but today I'm going to speak as a Shia. This time I'm going to speak as a Shia. I know that there is a lot of sectarian incitement, and a lot is being said on the media. a lot is being said on the internet websites, also on the social networks, and there are a lot of descriptions which are not worth anyone speaking out aloud against the Shia, terms being used against the Shia, and this is deliberate. Those, of course, some people might be misled, but the side which stands behind this knows what he's doing, who's behind this language. This same side standing behind this might come with some of the Shia, some of the Shia clerics, some of the Shia media outlets to do the same thing, and to practice the same sectarian incitement, and to curse and insult and target the symbols of our Sunni colleagues and the other Muslim sects. Be aware, we are fasting now in Ramadan. The same side stands behind the same two groups. It's the same side, because this is deliberate. This might come with some of the Shia, some of the Shia clerics, some of the Shia media outlets to do the same thing, and to practice the same sectarian incitement, and to curse and insult and target the symbols of our Sunni colleagues and the other Muslim sects. Be aware, we are fasting now in Ramadan. The same side stands behind the same two groups. It's the same side, because this is deliberate. Now, it even reaches a stage whereby we see killings and massacres and car bombs, just like we see every day in Iraq and Pakistan specifically, Husseiniyas and mosques and marketplaces and roads, etc. This language is growing with the events that took place in Syria. This language began to grow, and this trend began to grow, and one senses by action and by word that he who stands behind all of this aims that we Shia forget Palestine, and we forget Al-Quds, and we forget the Palestinian people. Even more, the aim is for us to hate everything called Palestine and Palestinian. Do you want me to be even more frank? What they're working on now is this. They want the day to come whereby the Shia in the Arab and Muslim world, whereby they protest on every Quds Day, and they are rewarded, like we're seeing in Pakistan, whereby suicide bombers are sent to bomb or to target Shia marches on Al-Quds Day. They want a Shia to exit the Arab-Israeli conflict or Palestinian-Israeli conflict. When the Shia exit, Shia are a significant portion, of course. When the Shia are outside the equation, then Iran is outside the equation. And so they want us to reach this result, for the Shia not to be part of a confrontation with Israel. Today, we want to tell all those people, we want to tell America, Israel, the British, who are the smartest maybe amongst the sides, and their tools. When I speak about the tools, the regional countries, some regional countries in our region, I want to tell every friend and every enemy, and this is the truth, which was solidified by blood. This is not something I'm saying on the podium. This was shown by our blood. Today, on Al-Quds Day, the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan 2013, we are the Shia of Ali bin Ali Talib in the world. We will not abandon Palestine, nor will we abandon the people of Palestine, nor shall we abandon the sanctities of the Ummah in Palestine. You can say what you want. You can say Rafidiyin. Rafidiyin means infidels. Say what you want. Say terrorists. Say criminals. chants of the crowd saying Ali, Ali, Ali. Say what you want. And try and kill us wherever you want. Kill us under all the rocks. Kill us anywhere. Target us anywhere you want. Target us on the door of any mosque in any Husayniyyah. We are the Shia of Ali bin Ali Talib, and we shall not abandon Palestine. We shall not leave the Palestinian cause. We are the ones who were raised in the project of resistance. We were young. We were young boys. We were youth, teenagers. We were raised in this atmosphere. We grew up in this atmosphere. The confrontation with the Israeli project and defending this ummah and defending Palestine and Al-Quds and the sanctities and defending Lebanon and the Lebanese people and Lebanon's dignity and Lebanon's sovereignty. This is something which is in our flesh and blood and in our veins. We inherited this from our fathers and grandfathers, and we pass it on to our sons and to our grandchildren. And on this path we sacrificed thousands of martyrs, the best martyrs, from Sayyid Abbas to Shaykh Raghib to Hajj Imad. We sacrificed our most beloved, those who are the dearest to our hearts. And so I conclude on Al-Quds Day to tell the whole world that we, Hezbollah, also, we will take our responsibility as much as we can. We will take the responsibility which is required, and we, Hezbollah, the Islamic Shia 12th Imam Party, we shall not abandon Palestine, we shall not abandon Al-Quds, we shall not abandon the people of Palestine, we shall not abandon the sanctities of this ummah. May God have mercy on the soul of Imam Khomeini, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, live from Beirut, and this time really live, not via satellite link. You saw in presence there of thousands who were listening to Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah in a very, very strong speech, an emotional speech on what is a very important day, not only for the cause of Palestine, for the liberation of Palestine, but also for Muslims, of which Muslim unity lied at, in some respects, in the one kind of angle that the Hezbollah Secretary General was addressing, and that was this project of sectarianism that's being thrown in the region. He elaborated on that quite a bit, and he said that this project is obviously being thrown into the region. He referred to